If you'd like to share in tea or coffee with us, you've just missed it. We had it between the services. But normally it will be after the service, apart from on the third Sunday. But good to have you all with us. The notices are on the notice sheet. I was asked about one other, but the person isn't here. I'll just remind you that a couple of weeks ago, Jane asked for... Oh, you're here. I didn't see you, Jane. Did you want to come and say... Oh, I'll mention it anyway. Jane has mentioned previously, and is going to mention again at some point, the need we have for support in the toddler group. So anyone who's... And creche. So just be aware of that. And as Jane... pray about it. And as Jane brings that to us again, then you may be able to have a conversation with her and perhaps look to offering to help with our youngest church members in creche or in the toddler group. I haven't been asked to say anything else.
Paul, there is no stroke club this week.
Okay. So if you're in the stroke club, you're on an outing. So no stroke club here this week. Right, in this morning's service, all in service, we're going to look at the theme of what it is to worship. Now, it's a huge topic, so we could be here till about Tuesday. But I'm going to do my very best to get it just into 3 hours, if that's okay. So we're going to think about what it is to worship. And we're going to start by doing something that people in church, Christians and before Jesus, people of the Jewish faith, did all the time as part of their worship. And that is, we're going to read something together. We're going to read a psalm. Now, I know that some people might struggle with seeing the screen, but that's okay. Listen in to what everybody around you is saying as we share this psalm together. And then when we've finished that, the worship band will lead us in our song worship. So worshiping in two different ways within the first portion of our service. So, we're all going to say this together. And I want us to try and be quite enthusiastic about it. It's about praising God. It's about thanking God for who he is. And so it'd be really good if you could say it all heartfelt with avec gusto. So if you'd like to stand and able to stand, you can even stand as we say this psalm together. Psalm 138. Here we go. Lord, I will praise you with all my heart. In front of those who think they are gods, I will sing praise to you. I will bow down facing your holy temple. I will praise your name because you are always loving and faithful. You have honored your holy word even more than your own fame. When I called out to you, eventually, you answered me. You made me strong and brave. Lord, may all the kings on earth praise you when they hear about what you have decided. Lord, may they sing about what you have done, because your glory is great. Though the Lord is high above all, he cares for the lowly. Though he is in heaven above, he sees them on earth below. Trouble is all around me, but you keep me alive. You reach out your hand to put a stop to the anger of my enemies. With your powerful right hand, you save me. Lord, you will show that I was right to trust you. Lord, your faithful love continues forever. You have done so much for us, so don't stop now.
We're going to worship in song together.
Know the actions to this one. So if you know the actions, go there and not that way. Shine from inside out. Okay? Goes like this. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Shine, shine.
thank you that we can come here to worship together. And in this next song, we're just going to sing our praises to you.
Thank you very much. Worship in song. Brilliant. Now, there are lots of different... There are lots of different definitions or ways of understanding what we mean by worship. So, if you could call out one word which kind of explains what you think is important in worship or an important part of it, or the one word which might mean the most to you about worship. Anyone want to shout out a word to do with worship that's theirs? Yes.
God.
God. Oh, yes, quite a good one. Brilliant. Yes?
Dancing in the name of God.
Could you dancing. Okay, that's a good one. I love dancing. Any one worders? Jesus. Hello.
Singing.
Singing, honour.
Praising.
Anything else?
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother. Yes?
Adoration.
Adoration.
Glorify.
Life.
Glorify.
Anything else? Hello.
Bible.
Yes. Anything else? Yes.
Trumpet,
I would accept. Okay, anyway, there's lots of different... Anyone else? Yes?
Religion?
We'll go deep into theology after. Yes, but worship is part of our religion. It's how we relate to God. It's how we express ourselves. That's another brilliant one. Well done. Yes?
Holy.
Holy? Yeah, well done. Extravagant. That's not my list because I can't actually spell it. But the last one? Love. All brilliant words that express what we might mean by worship. Now, having told you to stick to one word, I've used two sentences. So, this explanation comes from a pastor called Rick Warren. He talks along these lines, and he says that worship is the things that we do which make God smile. Things which give you the feeling that God is happy with you. Okay, that's one of his ways of explaining worship. And that made me think of a couple of things. In the Message translation of the Bible, Ephesians 5:10 says, figure out what will please Christ, that's Jesus, and then do it. I think that's quite a good definition as well from that version of the Bible. But that idea of making God happy reminded me of this chap. He was a Scottish international rugby player. Anybody know who it is?
Little.
Little? We're not talking about supermarkets. See if it, what else was he, Colin?
He was an athlete.
That's not my next slide. He was also a missionary in China. He was born in China to a missionary family. He came back to the UK and then he actually went back to China. He actually died at the end of the Second World War in a prison camp for people from the UK and Allied forces. And his name was Eric Liddell. And he was the British record holder for the 100-yard race in 1923. Colin, did you see him run?
Almost.
Okay. He ran the 100-yard race. That's 90 centimetres, there or thereabouts, times 100, so 90 metres, in 9.7 seconds. 9.7 seconds. And that wasn't equaled for 23 years, so he was pretty fast. He was also champion in the 220 yards. That's about 200 metres in 21.6 seconds. And it got even better than that. Eric Liddell's story is depicted with a bit of leeway, shall we say, in the film Chariots of Fire. And because he was a Christian, he wouldn't run in his normal race because it was on a Sunday in the Olympics in 1924. So he ran twice his normal distance because he did, and he did the 200, the 400 metres, and he won gold. And nobody thought he would. Gold medalist, Olympic and world record of 47.6 seconds. It takes me that long to get off the settee, let alone run 400 metres. And why that idea of our worship being what makes God happy reminded me of Eric Liddell because of something he said. Now, this is a bit of a video from the film, and this is the final of the 400 metres. Nobody expected him to win. They thought he'd be too quick over the first half, and then he'd fade and not win. And if you listen, he says something that was earlier in the film about what it is for him to run. So listen carefully.
It says in the old book, he that honours me, I will honour. Good luck, Jackson Schultz.
Schultz! Have a bell!
The power come from to see the race to its end from within. I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
For a purpose, and God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel that God is pleased with me. So what is it about our worship that makes us perhaps feel that we're connecting with God in some way? Now, a couple of weeks ago, Ness went in with Junior Church and two of the groups there. And they had a conversation about what it is to worship. Here's a verse to remember as you think about that. It says in Psalm 147, the Lord is pleased with those who worship him and trust his love. So I've asked Ness if they can do a bit of a recap and then maybe a bit think again about what they discussed about when we worship and when we worship together. So is that group going to come out? What colour is that?
Anyone who was in the group when I did it, come out to the front, because I am certainly not standing out here on my own. Come on. I would be a bit lonely. So when I went into the group, Gail had asked us to look at worship in the context of being in church. And we did start off, didn't we, by saying all sorts of words, like Paul did at the beginning. We said all sorts of words that are worship that go beyond church, so about living our lives and about reading our Bible and about praying and all of those things, didn't we? And then we had a look at a few Bible verses on worship, and we settled on this Bible verse. So it was, John 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. And we thought about, what is it to worship in spirit and truth? And so we did a little bit of role play, didn't we? So I asked William to help, and I actually asked Elijah to help, yeah. And they came out with me, and I whispered some things into their ear, and then we went back into the room, and we all watched, didn't we? And we put on some worship music, didn't we? And then we watched what they did. Do you want to give a little example, Will, of what you did when we were worshipping? Will was doing a good bit of moving around, praising, jumping up and down. That was Will's worship. And can you remember what Elijah did for his worship? Go on, Jacob, show him what Elijah did. And he just sat there like that, and actually he looked a little bit bored. And so we talked about who was actually worshipping. And actually, the kids, because they are so clever, they called my bluff and said the right answer straight away. But the idea was that somebody can look like they're worshipping, can't they? They can be dancing about. But the person who was sitting quietly might still be worshipping. So can you remember what were the thoughts that were meant to be going through Will's head as he was worshipping? Go on, Will.
I was thinking about dinner, fish and chips. Yeah.
Dinner, fish and chips. What else? A bit about what homework you've got later.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about God during that bit.
He wasn't thinking about God. So actually, on the outside, he looked like he was worshipping really well, didn't you? Yeah. But inside, he wasn't worshipping at all. Can you remember what Elijah was thinking about when he was worshipping? Can you remember, Harry?
Thanking God for church and God and stuff.
He was thanking God. He was sitting there thinking, actually, God, I love you and I want to be close to you. And so although he was sat quietly, he was worshipping. And so who ended up being the one that was worshipping in spirit and truth? Wasn't Will. Although we did decide that Will, that's not true, Will. Because, you know, Will does worship while he's dancing, yeah. But what the idea was that we know that you can't look on the outside of someone and know what they are doing. That actually God is really interested in what's going on in our hearts, yeah? And then we then talked about being role models. As adults, we're role models for our younger people as they worship. And then we talked about you being role models, didn't we? Can you remember what we said about being role models? No, you see, it was really impactful, this session that I did. Yeah, he went out to a football match, so he didn't hear that bit. Can you remember what we said about the younger ones, children who were younger than us? What did we say?
I said that I always dance with Xander at the front, and then you said that I could be a role model for Xander and encourage him to get closer to God as well.
So we talked about how it's really important that as we grow up, we become role models for those that are younger than us and actually encourage them to be thinking about God as they worship. And that happens in many different ways. And then at the end of the session, we came back in and there was worship going on and everybody was worshipping. And right at the very end of the service, Lottie and Tess came to me and they said, look what we've been doing. Do you want to tell them what you've been doing?
We drawed a picture with a mix of the rainbow from the story of Noah, me, Tess, Jesus and God walking down the path with all the tiles of the Holy Spirit and what you need to be closer to God. And at the end, it was a message saying you're closer to God now.
So actually, when we came back in, some of us came back in and sang and worshipped and danced and, you know, made sure that in our hearts we were thinking about God. But actually, Tess and Lottie, they drew a picture and were colouring and that was still their worship to God. And, you know, they came and showed me afterwards and it was really lovely. So we've basically talked about, didn't we, about how God needs to see what's happening in our hearts, not what's going on the outside. I think I did most of the talking, sorry.
So we're going to sing again. When I sing my praise to you, I am lifted up to higher ground. Something happens in my soul when I lift my voice to worship you. Worship is about coming closer to God in whatever the activity is that we're doing when we're focusing on him. Notice that everything we're doing this morning, there's something in the Bible that encourages us to do these things as we come to worship. Worship by giving. I'm going to tell you a secret, but don't tell everybody, especially not the treasurer. But the collection, the offering, isn't just about collecting money. It's not just about collecting money. It's important because we like to do all sorts of things for Jesus. And in this day and age, it costs money. But it's not just about that. You see, in the Old Testament, people used to come and offer things to God. It wasn't always money. It might be some grain. It might be some produce from their fields. It might be produce from their cattle or their animals. And the animals would have been sacrificed. Now, we don't have to do that anymore because of Jesus and what he's done for us. But still, we're asked to give to God. Sometimes it's when the offering plate comes round. Sometimes it's when you sort out your finances on your budget on your Excel spreadsheet at home and you organise that through the bank. But actually, the biggest part of it is the person who's giving to God in whatever way. Now, we can't get away from the fact that when we talk about the offering, we think about collecting money. And I'm going to tell you something from the dim and distant past. When I was 7, I had 12 pence pocket money. New pence. It was 12 pence pocket money. And with 10p, I usually got a Mars bar, one of those bubbly things, bubble gums, and a pack of stickers for 10p. Pardon? Well, it felt like a fortune for 10p. And I had 2 pence left. What do you think I did with the tuppence? My parents gave me my pocket money in 2 coins. That one's for you and that one's for chapel. But it meant that out of what my parents gave me, a whole 12 pence, I could give something to God. And that's a bit like what we do with ourselves, because the important thing is the person who's doing the giving. We can give ourselves to do something for God because of what he's done for us. So, we do take up the offering, the collection, but as the plates go round, I want you to think about something else. You'll be thinking about, even if you haven't got anything to put in, as it goes past, I want you to think about, what's my offering? What can I bring to God this morning? There might not be a 2 pence piece or a £50 note. It might be, what is there in my life that I can give to God or do for God as my offering for him? Do you think you could do that? Think about yourself and what you can offer to God, maybe even in this coming week, about giving to him because of what he's already given to us. Is that okay? Okay, let's take up our offering then. Lord, we thank you for everything that you give to us. And so as we bring these gifts of money, we also bring ourselves and ask that we would be used, that people may know the love and grace of Jesus through what we say and do. Amen. Okay, so just to wrap all of that up for a minute, where is our focus? What are we thinking about when we're at worship, whether we're singing, whether we're dancing, whether we're using the banners, whether we're sat still? We've been talking about where our focus is. Yes. Trying to get closer to God. That's brilliant. That's what our worship is about. It's an important part of being a Christian. When we're praying, when we're singing, in the things that we do, we are saying thank you to God. When we worship God, we're learning more about Him and we're getting closer to Him. And He encourages us to enjoy His presence and His pleasure in our lives. It's just like saying thank you to Him and getting to know Him in lots of different ways. Psalm 19 says, may these words of my mouth please you, and may these thoughts of my heart please you also. You are my rock and my redeemer. So it's nothing new that we're thinking about this morning. It's nothing new. God has always wanted people to get close to Him. We try and make what we say and think and do pleasing to God. We also try and remember that God is awesome. Now, awesome, what does it mean? What does awesome mean? See, I think we've got a bit of a problem with the word awesome because we haven't got a word left in the English language which can say how brilliant God is. Because we use all our brilliant words for everything. There's no extra special word to say how brilliant God is. But the word the Bible often uses is awesome. Now, Ness makes a brilliant chicken curry. She does. It's kind of sweet and soury. It's got cream in it. It's not Slimming World. It's got cream in it. And chopped coriander on the top. It's my favourite meal. Isn't it? Don't look surprised. My favourite meal. I could say that that meal is awesome. Because it's the best meal that I have. When I talk about God being awesome, God's better than Ness's chicken curry. I know it's hard to believe, but I haven't got a bigger word. I haven't got a bigger word for God. Sometimes the words that we have just can't explain how big God is. If we think about what God has done for us and who He is, God's the one who put everything into being, the world, the universe, the people around us. He's the one who sent His Son Jesus so we could get to know God through Jesus. He's the one who sent Jesus to die on the cross that we remembered in that song earlier as we were singing. God's awesome because of what He can do now. With us and through us and for us. And God's awesome because of everything He's going to do in the days to come. God is an awesome God. If anyone has a bigger and better word than awesome, then let me know because I'd like to use it for God. Answers on a postcard. Answers on a text. God is awesome because of who He is and what He continues to do. And that's why we worship Him. That's why we worship Him. He doesn't need us to worship Him because God has got everything. God is complete. He doesn't need anything. But when we worship Him, He's pleased that we do just that. Couldn't get past today without this fella. Aldersgate Sunday, those of you watching the the watching the, well, it's on Singing the Faith Plus, I think. Anyway, John Wesley, we remember about this time of the year that John Wesley, the person who started the Methodist Church, started the Methodist Church. And this was when God really spoke to him and he became aware of how awesome God is. Now, he thought that worship was a way that we experience God. We experience God's grace, bringing together all sorts of ways in which God tells us and shows us his grace that can actually change us. When we worship God, God changes us. I haven't said anything about the songs we use. The songs we use and the songs we choose are different for all of us, but they're a way of us telling God what we think about him and drawing close to him. And we use our words in lots of ways. What I'd like to do is to ask Kev to come and explain something. Because we want to try and just investigate a bit how we can use some words to help us worship.
Okay, with all that in mind that Paul's just told us about us worshipping God in spirit and truth, we're going to try to have a think about words of worship that we want to sing out, shout out, whisper up to God. And we're urging people to do that in the way that suits you, in the way that is right for you. And think about what you want to say to God in the words that you choose to use. You might have lots of words that you want to use to worship God. You might have one phrase in your head that you're thankful to God for. And we're going to release some balloons in a few minutes. And as the balloon comes to you, as you tap it on, or tap it forwards, or tap it sideways, or tap it backwards, shout out, sing out, say your words of worship to God. Don't worry about what other people are thinking and saying. This is between you and God, to say your words of worship to God. In the background, there's going to be some music, a band called Sons of Korah, who are an Australian Christian band, who use the words of the Psalms and set those to music. So the words of worship will be playing and being sung in the background. So just think about the words you want to worship God with this morning. So it might be a repeated phrase over and over again. You might have lots of different words to say to worship God. So if you could play the background music.
Praise the Lord.
Praying on, we'll just pray. Father God, I thank you for all the words that these balloons are prompting us to say. For all the thank you prayers. For all the prayers about how good and awesome you are. For all the people that these prayers mention. We thank you, Lord, that we can praise you and worship you in so many ways, even with balloons to remind us of our words of worship. So we thank you, Lord, and praise your name. Amen. Now we're going to offer our words of worship by batting the balloons all the way to the front to Kev's bin bag. But remember, every time you hit the balloon, you've got to say a word of worship. Any more? What's your worship word?
Heavenly.
Heavenly.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. God is fabulous. I am who you say I am. Good lyric quote. Brilliant. Worship. One more. So, we could just carry on praying for a minute. Lord God, we thank you that you are so awesome that when we come to worship together, we can talk about things that concern us, things that upset or worry us. We can come to you in our worship and say, Lord, please help those who are unwell. We pray for Heidi and for Chips Rafferty this morning, and anybody else that we can bring in our worship to God to say, Lord, please bring your peace and your healing. We pray for things in the world that are just absolutely terrible. Lord, that you would bring your hand of peace. That people from the youngest child to the oldest person wouldn't be facing warfare or would not be going hungry. We bring to you all of those who are doing exams at the moment and ask that you would give them peace so they can keep calm and just do as best as they can. Lord, that they would give a good account of themselves in their important exams. And we pray for each one of us, those here in church this morning, those who were here earlier, and all others, others known to us, that as part of your family, we might just show that our God is awesome. So we thank you, Lord. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to get close to you so that we would know you better and know what you want us to do with our lives. We praise you, Lord. Amen. prayer is that we lift our voices, not just in song, but lift our very selves to give God all the praise and the glory. I've chosen the last hymn because of the last line. Last line says, lost in wonder, love and praise. To be so in worship with God that we're absolutely lost. And it's a song that I remember because I remember singing it with my granddad in Langley Methodist Chapel. And to worship with my family all those years ago, knowing that they knew and loved Jesus, and that my parents and my step-parents know and love Jesus, and my kids are knowing and loving Jesus. It's about what we worship for, to know the love and presence of God. Let's sing Love Divine.
Save us by thy
so we go into our week, whatever that may hold, so that our lives of worship might be pleasing to our Father God and help people to come to know his Son, our friend, Jesus. Thank you, everybody, for taking part and shouting out things and contributing. And may you be blessed this week as we live out our lives of worship. Amen. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Oh, who's...